from the vault. High atop the pastoral center of the Diocese of Camden, you're listening to Talking Catholic.
Welcome once again, everybody. This is Pete Sanchez, and you're listening to Talking Catholic, the podcast of the Catholic community of South Jersey. And as always, I'm here with Mike Walsh, Director of Communications. Mike, how's it going?
Very good, thank you, sir. It's we're having summer-like weather for the very last few days of summer, the first couple of days of fall, so my body is not quite used to it.
Yeah, it's it always seems that this time of year, when you get ready for fall, it's almost like summer just comes with a vengeance one last time.
Yeah, which I don't mind. I'm okay with the warmer weather, but I did have to crank up the AC in the house yesterday.
Yeah, it's really... And speaking of summer, even though tomorrow starts, we're recording this the day before the beginning of autumn. So, but the bishop's actually going to be down the shore this weekend, right, Mike?
Yep, it's shoulder season at the shore this year.
You know, that's a first. I haven't really heard that
shoulder season
before. No,
it's
in the past couple of weeks.
When I lived down the shore, that was classic May, September is talking about the shoulder season.
Yeah, he's celebrating the 10:30 a.m. Mass at St. Anne's Church. Bishop is Notre Dame de la Mer. That's 10:30, and at 12:30, He's going to be the Grand Marshal in the Ancient Order of Hibernians. Irish Fall Festival.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, I think there should be in good weather too this weekend.
Oh yeah.
That's going to be at 10:30 on September 24th, this Sunday, St. Ed's Church, 2901 Atlantic Avenue. And also this Sunday, Mike in Vineland, we've talked about this for a lot. We have the St. Padre Pio Festival.
Oh yeah, our favorite, great food.
Yeah.
Friend of the podcast, Father Sinatra.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's procession at Mass at 11, Italian Mass at 2 p.m. Great food. There's going to be something called Cafe Pio, I guess, featuring homemade desserts, coffee, beer, children's games, Jersey Fresh produce stand, Italian music, other entertainment for families to enjoy. That'll be, that's Sunday, the 24th at noon at 4680 Dante Avenue, Vineland.
So you can decide if you want to go with an Irish thing or you can go with an Italian thing. It's going to be a smorgasbord of interesting food and beverages.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be a really wonderful day. It's always a great event. So stop in. And then in a couple of weeks, back in Wildwood for the 29th annual Camden Diocese Charismatic Conference at the Wildwood Convention Center. This year, it's neat. They're celebrating the 100th anniversary of Fatima.
And what date's that again?
That is Friday to Sunday, October 6th through the 8th.
Okay.
And
I've never gone. We mentioned that, I think, in a previous podcast. I've never been to that. I really got to make an effort to get down there this year.
Yeah, no, that's MC is going to be Father Rene Canales with some guest speakers, music. There'll be different tracks for adults and junior high. So go to www.camdencharismatic.org for more info. And then something coming up next month, too, October 11th, in Atlantic City, down the shore, the Justice for All Dinner, Mike, with the Cardinal Tobin. He's going to be the
Cardinal honored. Tobin and our five Disciples of Mercy, which were just announced this week. So check out your Catholic Star Herald or the Catholic Charities website to learn more about who's receiving honors from the five deaneries of South Jersey.
Yeah, that'll be, you can go to CatholicStarHerald.org for that to find out who the missionaries of Mercy, it's not missionaries of mercy, is it?
Disciples of Mercy. Missionary of Mercy was last year.
Yeah, it just sounds, disciples, missionaries, we're all in this together. But the Justice for All, raise funds for the work that Catholic Charities does in the six counties of New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be 5:30 at Resorts Hotel in Atlantic City. Go to www.catholiccharitiescamden.org/JFA2017. And, Mike, we actually got something coming up.
Right. In the midst of all of that, we'll have another event coming up, and that one's on Friday the 29th. And it's a really special event that if you haven't really had an opportunity to attend, it's it's beautiful in its pageantry. And you know, if you take into account really what the Mass is about, you know, really looking after our first responders, it's a wonderful Mass to attend, particularly as you've seen, you know, over the past several weeks in particular, first responders dealing with natural disasters throughout the Caribbean and southern United States, and now Mexico with the earthquake in Mexico, you realize, you know, what these guys could have to go and girls could have to go through at any time. You just never know when it's going to happen. So there's a special Mass specifically in their honor, and because of that, we have a special guest with us today. Can you introduce our guest?
We have Deputy Chief of the Gloucester Township Police Department. I got that right?
Yeah.
This is David Harkins, how are you?
I'm very good. I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
Glad to have you.
Yeah, thank you for coming aboard. So how are things going? How's the week been?
It's been a typical week, getting back into the swing of things with school starting and whatnot. And it's still nice weather, so getting typical stuff. But overall, it's been a good week.
That's good. And so this event coming up is a Blue Mass.
That's correct. It's the 16th annual diocesan Blue Mass, and it's what a Blue Mass is it's traditionally for law enforcement and first responders, blue with the color law enforcement, but it's more about all of our brothers and sisters in not only law enforcement, fire department, EMS, all first responders coming together as a family, and to celebrate together the service that we do. And we're very honored that Bishop Sullivan and the entire diocese has been just tremendously supportive of this event. It's a really a great event.
Yeah, that's again, it's the 19th annual.
It's our 16th annual.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at it backwards there. 16th annual, and so this Our Lady Pope in Blackwood, and just it's really amazing. Up in the last couple of years, and have you been to a number of them, I imagine?
Sure. I just happened to attend, my guess is probably the third annual Mass, and I just attended it, just being a Catholic that attended. It was being held in Gloucester Township at St. Agnes Church, which is now Our Lady of Hope Parish. And the first time I went, I was just taken in by the whole event. And I reached out to one of the his name's Captain John Kazupi. He's retired captain from the New Jersey State Police now, and he's now a warden under sheriff in Salem County. But John was really running the whole thing, and I just offered my support. And so over the years, I've just gotten more involved. And Monsignor Michael Mannion from our diocese is a police chaplain for not only Gloucester Township Police, but many other agencies, the FBI, Camden County, and many other. And he's always, he took a predominant role in helping to keep it organized and really getting it to the point where we're at now.
Yeah. And it's pretty well attended. I mean, where do, you know, of the first responders and police that attend, where do most of them come from in South Jersey?
They come from the surrounding counties, Camden County, Gloucester, Salem County, Cumberland, Atlantic County, and we get some from Cape May County, but obviously the further ride, it makes it more difficult. Mm-hmm. As many events are held at Our Lady of Hope Parish, it's a central location. It's very large. One of the things that we started a few years back, we wanted to really make a better connection with our communities. And one of the things in law enforcement throughout the region nationally is us as law enforcement doing a better job with making connections with our communities. And one of the things that the committee that I'm belong to wanted to do was get good exposure to some school-age children. And so we extended the invitation, and Superintendent Mary Burks has been excellent. She's been Mary Boyle. I'm sorry, Superintendent Mary Boyle has been excellent with us getting the word out. And we have a great attendance of Catholic school children that attend the Mass. different ages, but a lot of them are eighth grade. And it's an open invitation to any school children that want to attend. And we have a great interaction with them. We put them in a prominent role. And as you mentioned before, there's a great amount of patriotic pageantry in the Mass. We have the Camden County Emerald Society performs bagpipers and honor guards with the flags and, the officers in their uniforms. And it's a great representation of us coming together, and they get to see us in a real positive light. Yeah. And the officers and the firefighters that attend really enjoy that aspect. Many bring their family members. And we really, in the last couple of years, been trying to push it out to let people in the diocese know that it's open to the public. We want them to attend. Mm-hmm. We often, much more often than complaints, I have people come up to us thanking us for our service or coming and asking what they can do. And this is a great opportunity to come out and show support for the first responders and the police officers and law enforcement throughout the region at the Blue Mass.
Yeah. And God willing, I think, a lot of people, I think sometimes people who haven't had much interaction with particularly police departments, but, EMTs, fire departments, there's always an appreciation, but until you're sort of in need of their services, then you suddenly realize, just how important these members of our community are. Now, Bishop Sullivan, as a person who was a pastor in Lower Manhattan on 9/11, he has a pretty clear understanding of just how important it is. It didn't take 9/11 for him to do that, but that's one of those, seminal moments in his life that, he saw everyone coming together, and he's remarked on it a number of times. In his regard, he was housing National Guard people nearby the entire time, and you don't know when something like that's going to happen. So it's good that we can all come together and bless the first responders, not just for their efforts and energy for protecting society, but also bless them so that when they're on the job, they make good decisions are made on them.
Yeah.
Calm and peace prevail as opposed to violence and anger. So it's really a good opportunity. You feel the Catholic and Christian community really descend upon this very, let's face it, first responder is a very secular world. You're literally, you're talking about being in the community. You are in the community. Church might not necessarily be the first thing on your mind in a situation. Right. So it's good that, you've gone through a service like this where you're reminded and we're reminded of, that act of service, the Christianity involved in our lives on behalf of the first responders, but also on behalf of the community as well.
Yeah. And I have to say, you're talking about the students there. It was neat because I've been there over the last couple of years. I love the American flag between the two, between the two fire trucks.
Yes.
That's just a beautiful image. We put that in the paper a number of times, and I've taken it on my phone and just kept it just beautiful. But I do have to say, with the school children, it's great to see them there. I think from the first year I was there, it seemed, because I remember I'd gone and they hadn't been there. And then the first year I was there and they were there, it definitely seemed to bring more energy.
It was an idea that someone had, and we had first started out with inviting the schools that were local. We understand the logistics of it. It's difficult sometimes for the school children, but the word got out. Again, Superintendent Boyle, she really jumped onto the idea and supported it, and with Father Hughes also. And their support has really just made it evolved into something even more special. And Mike, I agree. It's quite an event. It's quite a coming together. I'm often told by people who come the first time they come, they're hooked. They come back, and I think as you see, it's been growing and growing. I think we had the most. We had a full church. That's always our goal. Is our Blue Mass committee that organizes it is to fill the church. Yeah. Coming together, and we could feel the Holy Spirit at work. I can. I think it's a great example of us coming together and in positive service. And it's we feel people's prayers, and we need people's prayers.
Yeah.
It's a difficult what we do is difficult. I've had the privilege of speaking with Bishop Sullivan and asking him about his experience in Lower Manhattan, and it is I get the impression that it is definitely something that it's a very important thing to him, and it touches him.
Yeah.
And it's translated to his support for this and during the Mass.
You know, you have a sort of a unique position as a police officer, as well as a Catholic, and you're taking it one step further as a person in the diaconate program.
Yeah, it's and I have to say, so I've been a police officer for 22 years, a little more, and my family comes from a line of Philadelphia police officers. All my mom's brothers were Philadelphia police officers, and my father is a deacon here in Michael Harkins in he's been at Our Lady of Hope the last few years, and I've had some great examples of service and providing service. And a few years ago, you know, I've been discerning the call to the diaconate, and it was a few years ago, and I believe that it's directly connected to some of my involvement, not only in law enforcement with the Blue Mass and my own development, spirituality, and whatnot. And I really put the dots together about service, about the permanent diaconate being for service. And it's so I'm in my – I've just started my third year of formation in the permanent diaconate program. And it's been quite a – it's been a wonderful experience so far. You know, it's really ingrained in me. I've been able to connect the service that I do as a law enforcement officer for the community with now the service that I hope to do for the Diocese of Camden, for the church. And, you know, if I could put a plug in for the diaconate formation program, you know, it's a commitment, but it is well worth the commitment. The program, I've learned so much. You think you know. As a, you know, I've been a faithful Catholic for many, many years, but you think you know, but the way we've been formed has been, continuing to be formed has been just great as far as learning what we need to know and growing in all ways. And for those that think they have the call or the feel or have ever thought about it, I'm here to tell you that it's not that difficult. There is, you know, people sometimes get intimidated by the schoolwork, and it's nothing that anyone can't handle. The guys that are in formation with me, and there's another police officer, Toby Haley, who's a Washington Township police officer. We speak about the service connection, but all the guys that are there, we've become brothers, and we just support each other, and the time flies, and you know, we really just are. It's a great experience so far, and God willing, you know, I'll be able to continue through the formation.
Yeah.
And I look forward to that, to serve in the church.
Yeah. You have a beautiful Vineland, they have the Formation Center there that opened up, I think, a few years ago or about a year?
About 2 years ago, I believe, that they moved to the old Sacred Heart High School.
Mm-hmm.
And we've, you know, Deacon Michael Carter, who's head of formation, has done a wonderful job of really bringing it up to speed for adult learning. And we gather together for evening prayer before class. And the time, we all speak about how fast the time goes by, and we're in a good routine. Mm-hmm. And you know, how much we get out of it. It's really a great program. And I can't emphasize enough for men who are, if you've thought about it or have gone to an information session, to take it to the next step and not be afraid to move forward with it.
Yeah,
I was wondering because we've covered we've announced the information sessions. I don't know, Mike. Do you know if there are any more or Chief? Do you know if there are any more coming up?
I'm not sure there's any more coming up, but I can tell you that you can certainly contact the office of the diaconate, Deacon Michael Carter, and they will certainly get you. Even if contact with information.
Yeah. And I just happen to know that number offhand, 856-583-2858.
Very good. Well done.
Well, it's ingrained in my memory.
Okay.
So, it's good.
It's funny having another deacon or deacon candidate on the podcast, and we found that we have deacons on with some regularity, and they all have sort of like the same perspective on what drew them to it, and it's usually a sense of service. And I come to think of it, a number of the people we've spoken to actually have service backgrounds, either in the military or they were on a police force. So it's not – and actually a number of teachers as well too.
Yes.
It always seems like somebody – the people who sort of gravitate to the diaconate are people that actually kind of already have it in their head that they need to do more. They need to be – in the community, as yes. Right, whether it be a religious community or some other community, that there's a service to provide. Pete and I have both, well, I know I've discerned the diaconate a couple of times and not quite there yet, but I'm working on it.
I understand. Yeah. I've been there and I can tell you that, it's a big commitment, but once you make that commitment, I think that the Lord provides and it just as falls into place. And, having great support of my wife and family, it's only made us even stronger. I mean, the time commitments are definitely manageable. And, my wife's been supportive. I have two children, and it's been a great experience for all of us so far. So
the call for you, I mean, was that – do you think that grew out of an extension of your father being a deacon, or was it – you think it was something more than that?
Well, I think it partly grew out of watching my father, and he's retired, but he's still active at Our Lady of Hope as a deacon. But I've watched him over the years, and I do believe that it set a great example. I've had great priests throughout my life be a great example, and I've had great deacons that I've observed, and I saw my father's commitment to it, and how he set such a good example of what it was. And it definitely had an influence, maybe not the only influence. We laugh because one of my classmates, Rich Wigglesworth, his father's a deacon also, and his father and my father were classmates. So we got there's two of us in the same class that are following in our father's footsteps. But we often talk about what an example that when you see it in everyday life, of course, he's your dad, but you see him, putting the time in and the preparation and service to the church. It was it made a difference. I think it made a difference looking back in hindsight to me being a police officer, even seeing the service.
I was wondering if. Through the discernment, even maybe before you got to the actually into the program, did you find that desire to be a deacon influencing your professional life, or for that matter, vice versa?
I do believe that it has had a positive influence on me. It probably has made it excel. I've seen growth, change in myself, patience, things like that, better understanding of things. Oftentimes, when you're a young police officer, the action, and it can be a very exciting job. You have your ups and downs, and it goes like it can be something that can be terrifying one minute and then gratifying the next. So with my formation, my thoughts on the priesthood or the diaconate, having seen such good priests and deacons throughout my life, it's also changed my perspective on things and for the better. And I think I've gotten more, patient, understanding, it's helpful in my position. Again, I've gone through the ranks that I know a little bit. I think I know a little bit more about, even an organization and administration and things like that. It's helped me to see things, in a better light than what law enforcement was 20 years ago. We're making changes for the better. And I'm very lucky to work with such great people at the Gloucester Township Police Department and in such a progressive way of reaching out to the community and making it a better place. And we get great feedback with different kinds of programs. We know that we just can't arrest away problems.
Right.
And that's been a driving philosophy for us. It's been a driving philosophy change in my life and in the way we do police work. We have to get to the root of the problem. And, we started to do that. And it all ties together, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sorry. Just to sort of dovetail on that, just out of curiosity, what is the job responsibility of a deputy chief?
So I'm second in command of the police department, and I work directly for my chief, Harry Earl. And basically, I carry out administrative functions. I fill in at events and basically support the mission of the police department as the chief directs programs and whatnot. Just to carry out overall operational issues and programs that the chief needs to get done, I make sure I carry that out and assist any way I can with the mission.
And you've been part of the department for how long?
22 years.
All your entire time in the department?
I've been with Gloucester Township for 22 years, a little over 22 years, almost 22 and a half.
And what are some of your roles been prior to becoming deputy chief?
So I've been, throughout my career, I was a patrol officer. I also was a field training officer. I was became a member of our special response team, which is our SWAT tactical unit. I spent a lot of time with that. I rose to the rank of sergeant on the street, patrol sergeant, and a patrol lieutenant. I became a commander of our special response team, and that was a big part of handling critical incidents, barricaded persons, hostages and warrants, things like that. I've held a position of captain of our operations, and I ran our communications unit, police records, dispatch, administrative functions. So that was the boring part of my career, but
and how
it helped me learn, though, I know.
And how did this, can you just start trace the journey? What led you to the Gloucester Township Police?
So I'm a resident, lifelong resident of Gloucester Township. And as I said, I have had the desire, I guess, I don't know what, going back to a young age of being involved in law enforcement. As a younger age, I also volunteered as a firefighter for at the Choose Landing Fire Department in Gloucester Township. And later on, I was just applying. I attended Rutgers University. I graduated Rutgers University here in Camden, and I graduated with a bachelor's degree in political science. And but I just was trying out different law enforcement at the time in the early to mid 90s, trying to get on a law enforcement position. And I took the civil service test for Gloucester Township, and thank God I made the grade and was hired in 1995.
And I didn't want to do this podcast with you without talking about it's getting a lot of press, not only in New Jersey, but throughout the country, this heroin overdose rate.
Sure.
And we've put we put something in our paper this week about what people can do with medications and other, how to dispose of them properly. What is your office doing to combat this? Luckily, it's been getting a lot of attention, and unfortunately, I know some personal friends and family, friends of the family that have been it's going through this.
Well, first, I can tell you that addiction hits everyone, okay? It doesn't matter. That sickness hits everyone, no matter what, how much money they make, what they do. Police officers are not immune to having family members get hit with the scourge of addiction. And again, the heroin epidemic has really hit the entire country, the South Jersey area, very hard. Years ago, we, as members of the Gloucester Township Police Department, began very early to try to do things different. We made a big push to get the Narcan, the antidote, and we've had that My chief is a member of the Camden County Addictions Task Force. We were very early on, we implemented the collection boxes and the take back boxes where we would collect on, you know, medications from medicine cabinets and whatnot. And but if anything, it was the change of the stigma of addiction. And just throughout my career, the stigma's changed, and, you know, we, to the benefit, I see the officers today really recognizing for what it is. The it's in my opinion, a sickness that, you know, no one wants to be addicted. No one wants to say, I'm going to be a drug addict or use heroin. It's, but we try to get to the points in our life where we can try to recognize what's going on. And we've really done that with youth, working with, partnering with our schools and a social worker that we actually have a social worker that works for us, that tries to, we try to intervene before these things, these addiction problems occur. And if they do, we try to get them. We actually started a program called the SAVE program in our municipal court, because we would see people come to municipal court who had addiction issues, but they weren't necessarily charged with addiction crimes or drug crimes, maybe theft, maybe shoplifting, whatever they were doing to fuel the addiction. And we really didn't have many resources for them. And that program has been very successful. We've seen success stories. And really, it had nothing to do with about getting rid of the charge. It was just they would come to court. It was a good opportunity to get them in touch with a counselor who then could provide them with some resources or direction to go. And now every one of our officers carries a card with them for the SAVE program. And we give it out to people, to family members, just to give them a resource, somewhere they can turn. We have a phone line, and that is growing throughout the South Jersey police. That throughout the area are you know, looking at this problem in different ways than we did 15 years ago, and I think that it's had some success, it's been because of the cooperation of all kinds of social services, and but it's really been a change of mindset. And you know, one thing about Narcan, I'll say that, and going back years ago, I attended a training program that Father John Stabino was holding. It was when Narcan first came out, and we were learning about it. It was family members, and that really put us over the top to make sure that we had to get this stuff. And it has been. We believe that if someone is overdosing, in order for them to get into recovery, they have to survive that incident that's occurring to them where they're overdosing. And that's what the Narcan does, and that's our hope. Yes, we use it because we see when the overdose deaths occur, the heartache that it brings to everyone, and we have to deal with that. So it's been a change of heart, I would say, for many of us, and in a positive way, and it was probably long overdue.
Yeah. Now, with Narcan, I understand. I know police officers carry it. Do you see school administrators, health clinical, do they carry this as well?
It's out there. It's a medication. It used to be that you needed to have a prescription and whatnot. It was very regulated, and those regulations have lifted. I know of many of our school nurses have Narcan. And it's even for an accidental overdose where someone may find something. I know of an incident that I heard about that someone overdosed in a pharmacy, and a pharmacy tech, pharmacist administered Narcan and saved the person's life. You can get Narcan if you had a family member. There's resources out there that you can have Narcan that if you have a family member addicted. And sometimes that's what it takes to the person to get to recovery. And like I said, they can't get to recovery if they don't survive that incident that's occurred.
And in addition to the opioid crisis, are there any other, you know, things that, you know, families should really be looking at, or communities should be looking at, that maybe isn't getting the press that the opioid?
Yeah, I mean, you hear a lot nationwide about the legalization of marijuana, and there is a medical use for marijuana, and certainly it's in New Jersey, it's pretty well regulated. But I always get concerned, again, this is just my personal thoughts on it, when we start speaking about legalizing marijuana, you hear it's a gateway drug, and it doesn't necessarily mean it has to lead to heroin abuse or harder drugs. However, my personal experience that I can refer to, that it has. It's led to people driving intoxicated when they thought that they were okay. And, you know, I have colleagues from with different journals and whatnot in Colorado and other states that have where it's become legalized, and it's been nightmarish for them. Their motor vehicle crashes have gone up. We've done great strides in stemming driving while intoxicated from alcohol. There's still issues, obviously, but I think our youth have, we've really done a great job with some of our programs and even anti-smoking campaigns and whatnot. However, you know, these states where it's become legal, that they're having those kinds of issues. So I always get concerned about that. You know, I get concerned about it being, and it's a controversial topic. I'm not a big advocate of putting people away in prison for having a small amount of marijuana. But I do get concerned about when it's used freely. Other issues are juvenile and domestic violence issues are always issues that we have to deal with. I believe that when sometimes our youth and children see violence or actions at home, that does lead to either drug abuse or other issues of addiction. The violence carries on to the next generation. And so we've really tried to push out some new cutting edge programs where we're really providing extra services and trying to intervene especially for youth. Youth mm-hmm. programs are the way. I think that we're going to see reap the benefits of those as these children that are receiving better programs and more services as they carry on to adulthood.
Now, what parish do you belong to?
I belong to Our Lady of Hope.
Our Lady of Hope. Do you do anything you're talking about with the youth? I know I went to Queen of Heaven in Cherry Hill
mm-hmm.
since closed, and a memorable experience for me was DARE.
Sure.
Is that program still going on?
It sure is. It's called the program that we have now. Some areas still have DARE. Some areas we have what's called LEAD. It's Law Enforcement Against Drugs. It's basically the same type of program. My daughter attends Our Lady of Hope Catholic School, and we have a great relationship with them. Our Gloucester Township Public Schools, we have a great connection with them. We have two officers in Gloucester Township that are full-time teach that program, and they're part of our community relations unit. And on top of having officers that are school resource officers, we've really done up the game to try and make connections with our youth and in turn our communities. They benefit. You mentioned Father Rene Canales. He has a youth group for his Hispanic ministries there, and we have an officer, Hispanic officer, as part of our liaison that regularly connects with them there. And we really try to, those programs have expanded and are part of what I've been speaking about trying to interact, and they've been very successful for us. So yes, we have some great officers that do some great things in interacting with our youth.
Well, not to toot my own horn, I remember there specifically because I won a essay contest.
Nice.
A nice little medal.
Nice, yeah.
So I think it was like fifth grade, and we did like a little skit.
Yeah. We still have the fifth grade program. We've expanded to a seventh grade program throughout to reinforce it as they get older. Yeah.
And one of the things I wanted to mention before about heroin and addiction, if we can go back to that for a bit, it's so hard. What people sometimes don't understand, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong with heroin, but it seems to me that the belief that you can get off of it just completely detoxing on your own is nearly impossible. Is that, you know, you really, don't you need something?
My experience is that it's very difficult. Yeah. I call heroin the devil, as far as it's got to be a devilish, a terrible, terrible affliction to have that that addiction where you feel you need that. And it's very real. And so it's just, again, my experience is that the more support the person gets through different programs, maybe medications and whatnot, everything they can do to help them. But I do know many, many people that have. There is hope. There are people live wonderfully clean lives and recover from that. There's definitely hope to do it. But my experience is that the more support they get, the better chance they have of defeating that is.
And is there, do you have a website or something you can share with people who might, you know, who might want support, or can sure. they go to your police website?
Sure. I would highly recommend for this area, the Camden County Heroin Addiction Task Force. I would highly recommend. There's a lot of great resources there. For Gloucester Township, you could go to our Gloucester Township website, gtpolice.com, or even our township website, glotwp.com, and look for information on our SAVE program. There is resources out there. There's resources in Gloucester County, has some great programs also that's run through their Gloucester County Prosecutor's Office and other things. But there's plenty of help out there for people. But a good start for this area is definitely the Camden County Heroin Addiction Task Force, which I know Superintendent Boyle is a member of that also. And they have some great resources for people.
I don't know, Mike, do you remember, I don't know if you were a part of it, we did a few awareness programs in the diocese last couple of months.
We did. Catholic Charities has has an opioid addiction ministry that started up earlier this year with Father John Stabino, as a matter of fact. Yep. And he's been taking. I don't think we were the principal hosts. I know one was run through the DEA, and then there was another one that I think was done through the Camden County Task Force. That's one of the areas where our own Catholic Charities. Throughout the diocese, you know, and in all the offices within South Jersey, are really looking to be more active, particularly ministering to families who have family members that are going through the struggle.
I can tell you that we attended as a candidate of the diaconate formation. We attended with all the other deacons their diaconate convocation last year, and they had an excellent speaker who came. Who is an expert in addiction, Bill Lynch, he's a pharmacist. He's an expert through the area who gave great information, and everybody got great feedback that to give us some tools and give us some information on how to deal with these types of situations. Yeah. It's definitely something that we can defeat. I believe that. But the more awareness is, it's all around us. And, there's things that we can do to help those that need the help and to prevent it from striking.
Yeah, and I think you know, a lot of people, when they think of drug-related issues, they oftentimes think of these as urban issues. But the reality is they're really not.
They're definitely not.
They hit suburbia. They hit rural areas. There really are no there are no lines separating
none
us
at all.
Anymore. So where we're located in Camden City, we certainly see it a lot. But as Pete mentioned, neither one of us, I live in suburbia / rural area, and it's just as terrible there.
It is.
And it hits all age groups as well.
It sure does.
Nobody's impervious to it.
And we have to let those people know if they're listening, you know, that you're not alone. You know,
you're not.
Talking about support and
if you're going through it, if you're a family member going through it, I mean, there are a lot of support opportunities now. No one needs to go through it alone anymore. So, you know, whether you avail yourself of something as part of Catholic Charities or part of your local police department or local hospital or clinic, you know, make the effort, because going it alone is not the way to do it.
It's there. and it support's there if you want it.
Yeah.
And then it's important for us to all remember to pray for those who are suffering from addiction. It's a terrible scourge, and I think with the support and our prayers and knowing that there is help there will help people get through.
Yeah.
And I think you're talking about we need to pray. Is there a patron saint of addiction? Is anybody?
I'm sure there is. I'm not coming to my mind at the moment, but I guarantee you there's a patron saint of addiction.
Well, that's homework for next time.
There you go. But unfortunately, we're about time for us to wrap up. Now, we wrap up every podcast with a couple of questions from Pete, completely unrelated to anything else. So, Pete, ask away.
Well, the first question is related, Deputy Chief. Is it Deputy Chief?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I noticed, I just got to say on your byline, it said Staff Commander on the email. I like that, too. That sounds a little bit better.
Rank is Deputy Chief, but the position in the Police Department is Staff Commander.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Mike, can I get that for my title name?
Yes, we're gonna change you to Staff Commander. You'll be
sounds
the Staff
good,
Commander.
It
does. It's a great one.
I love it.
Catholic Star Herald Staff Commander.
It sounds very, I just have to say, not to belittle the position, it sounds very much like Star Trek.
Yeah,
like,
I hear you.
Why
wouldn't that be belittling it? That's awesome.
No, well, I mean, because it's a serious position.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What I meant. I didn't want to make it too pop culture-y. Speaking of pop culture, there are a lot of TV shows out there, cop shows, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, The Wire, Law and Order, Starsky and Hutch, where, you know, it all pretends to depict, I guess, cop life. Is there any movie or TV show that you feel that is the most realistic, or, you know, kind of when you watch it, you're like, this is what it really is?
There's not many, I got to be honest with you, that really puts it into there. Some shows have fleeting moments of realism, but it's old now, but The Wire was a Baltimore based situation. There were some moments of that did have some realistic aspects to how police work was done in the early 2000s. I saw it on not that long ago, and they were still using beepers and payphones and whatnot. My daughter, who's 13, mm-hmm. she asked me what a payphone was one time. It's hard to put on what a real so much of it is Hollywood, quite frankly. It's hard to put what a real real TV shows that are realistic. It's hard to come to mind of any. Most police officers don't watch most of those. There are some that are entertaining, and you sit there and sometimes you just kind of smile at it. The newest one, Live PD, is on, I think it's on A&E or something. It shows real, that they're riding along. That's why the old cops shows were very popular, because they were really riding along with real things. I guess the most realistic show is The First 48. That's also one that where they follow homicide units, and that's really how not every case is solved, and they show that sometimes, and so it makes it more. But that's realistic.
Now, remember The Wire. Have you seen The Wire, Mike?
You know, it's one of the few that I haven't seen. I was a big fan of Homicide, speaking of Baltimore-based ones. I don't know how accurate it was, but
it was based
a good
on
show.
The book, The Homicide, and which really took some real-life stuff. So there was some accuracies to that.
Yeah.
And The Wire was, the creator was a newspaper reporter at Baltimore, so I think that contributed to the realism, and it's just a masterpiece. I don't think I could ever watch it again, but watching it the first time, it was some of the best TV I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was good.
So,
I enjoyed The Wire.
Yeah, the second question, do you have a favorite part of coming up? You know, autumn tomorrow. We're talking about that. Do you have a favorite part of the upcoming season?
It's my favorite time of the year, I guess, with the weather and whatnot. I just enjoy outdoors events and things like that. So I just the kids get back to doing things. My daughter's into cheerleading, and my son attends Bankbridge Development Center, and we're involved with the St. John of God Faith Formation, so that's starting back up. I'm a catechist there also. And
nice.
So it is just football season again, and getting doing our I just like Sundays during the fall. And
can't argue with that.
You're an Eagles fan?
Yes.
What do you? How do you
answer that quickly?
Yeah. What do you think? How do you think the season's shaping up? How do you think they're doing?
I think they let one slip away.
Yeah.
And I'm just concerned that the Giants this week are 0-2 and they're desperate. That's what I get concerned about.
Yeah.
But I think they should be able to win. I'm happy. I do believe we have a winner with Carson Wentz. So I'll say
I think
that.
So. Yeah.
I agree.
So the last question, Chief, we try to end. I'm always curious, the advice that people receive from others. Can you share any life advice that you've learned or that somebody has imparted to you over the years?
I would say to be open to new ideas, to be willing to do different things and not be afraid of taking on different things and having faith. I will say that's one thing. Having faith in Christ and knowing that there's always help. I found that there's always help. There's always support, even in our darkest times. My strength has been turning to the church. The more that I turn to the church, the more that I learn about our faith, the more calming and the more peace I find in my life. If you think you have, a hard decision or something to make, I recommend that someone just take their time and pray about it. And it's so important, I think, for us to do when making big decisions. And that would be that would be the best advice. It's really worked well for me.
Well, good words. Thank you. I think I couldn't have imagined ending any better than that.
No. I think he's got a future as a deacon.
I think we need to have him back as a co-host. Because there's a deep.
Okay.
Whenever
that.
You have time.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right.
No, very, very, this is wonderful. Thank you,
I enjoyed it. Thank you for the opportunity. And I appreciate the opportunity to promote our Blue Mass, which is Friday, September 29th at 10:30 at Our Lady of Hope Parish in Blackwood. And I appreciate all the support the diocese, our priests and our deacons, and especially Bishop Sullivan has provided. And especially I do want to give a shout out to Monsignor Mannion, who has always been supportive of our law enforcement. I believe he's preaching. Mm-hmm. He's got to preach at the Blue Mass this year. And for Father Zolak, the pastor at Our Lady of Hope Parish, he's a son of a police officer, and he's been a great supporter for both me personally and for the Mass. And I couldn't ask for anything more, so it's greatly appreciated. He's part of our Blue Mass committee.
Excellent.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, we hope we see lots of folks there at the Blue Mass on Friday the 29th, and Pete and I will certainly be there. And thank you very much. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
If I can say one more thing before I forgot to mention that the first one. If you're listening on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. That'd be wonderful. I want to get to the top 200.
And share the podcast on social media. That's the number one thing if everybody who supports a podcast can do is share it on social media. Help us expand the reach of Talking Catholic throughout South Jersey and the world. So thanks for joining us, everybody.
Chief, you're in our prayers. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless.